The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is Talkin' Cowboys.
Broadcasting live from Dallas Cowboys training camp in Oxnard, California.
Hand off Elliott, plowing to the goal line. Barry, sacked by Lord. Prescott keeps it, and he bangs it into the touchdown.
And now your hosts, Mickey Spagnola, Rob Phillips, and Kyle Yeomans.
As long as you live, keep smiling because it brightens everybody's day. I thought I would start things off with a Vin Scully quote this morning. As we are on the West Coast in another edition of Talking Cowboys here from Radio Row and Training Camp 2022. Alongside Mickey Spagnola, Rob Phillips, and we, for the first time in the 2022 season, have Isaiah Stanback ready to go down there at the end of the table. Glad to have Isaiah back. But, gentlemen, we've got a ton to talk about in terms of this Cowboys team. But, Rob, I want to start it early with Vin Scully passing away. I know this is a football show, but it is it's a big moment in sports overall. Even some of the best in highlights and lowlights of Cowboys Nation were described by Vin Scully himself. He was a hero of mine, and he passed away yesterday. And since we are on the West Coast, I think this is a great time to talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, pulling back the curtain a little bit. We are roommates on this trip, yeah. Roomies, and we were watching the Dodger game last night, and right when the news came down, and it was obviously a sad situation, and then just watching the post-game coverage and also the L.A. broadcast, I think it was the Fox affiliate, their 10 o'clock news. Yeah. They spent 90% of their 30-minute show devoted to Vin Scully and his life. And that just, I mean, as someone familiar with his work, but maybe not his influence, I think one of the network anchors said he was maybe the most beloved man in L.A. Think about that. Like, think about this, that city, and what he meant to that city.
Mickey, what did you take from Vin Scully? You're a big baseball guy. All of us up here are actually big baseball guys. Isaiah played the game as well. What are your favorite memories of Vin Scully?
Well, when I grew up, they didn't have 10 baseball games on every night. We got the White Sox. We got the Cubs. That was it. On Saturday, there might have been a game of the week. But what I remember most about Vin Scully is he would do Major League Baseball All-Star Game, and he would do the World Series. Mm-hmm. And so I remember when I heard his voice doing baseball, that meant something big was taking place, like the World Series. We didn't have three playoffs going on each league, and, you know, it was a pennant race, and then it was a World Series. And, I can remember it in back of my mind. I can still hear that voice saying Willie Mays or Mickey Mantle or Whitey Ford. And growing up, racing home from school in elementary school to catch, and people might not believe this, but they used to play the World Series day games. They were all day games. And we would race home from school to try to catch the last few innings as the game would start 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And if we didn't have a reasonable teacher that let us listen to the game during school, we beelined like it was the 3-block dash to get home to listen to Vin Scully.
What are your thoughts?
Obviously, it's a sad moment, sad day, but he had an amazing life, right? 94 years. The amount of games, I think we were calculating it earlier, he probably called over
10,000 games.
So the amount of wisdom, the amount of knowledge that he had, the impact that he's had on people's broadcasting careers, play-by-play, is absolutely amazing. So it's just, I think everybody's blessed to have had him in their lives in some regard.
Well, you know, sometimes we get out here, and Kyle, you're early in your career out here, but second real camp out here for you, but just 67 years that he had in his job. I mean, he was baseball. Like, his life was baseball. That's really special. Not many people gets to do that in their entire life like that.
Well, or be good enough to last.
Well, exactly. That's a credit to him, for sure.
No doubt about it. And that's the thing is you look at a guy like that as a role model. I mean, my aspirations line up with a lot of what he did. I want to be a play-by-play announcer. I want to be a studio host. I want to do these things because I love it, but I also love the sports that we're covering at the same time. And the fact that he did all 67 of those seasons with the same team, too, it's unbelievable. So the passing of Vin Scully, very sad for the sports world. And, yes, I know it's a football show. Yes, I know we're covering the Dallas Cowboys, but I did want to get that out there because he was a hero of mine. He's a role model and somebody that I strive to be like every day. And I'll never achieve that and never get to that point, but at least I can try and get somewhere close because Vin Scully was one of a kind. All right, let's do some news and notes, Rob. Since we've got four back up here at the desk, let's start things off by what the Cowboys did yesterday. Second padded practice, a walkthrough today. What else is going on in Cowboys Nation?
Yeah, they're scaling it back a little bit today. They'll have a mock game. That's what Mike McCarthy calls it, and then they'll get back to work on Thursday. And, you know, the biggest news, and we'll get into it a little bit later in the show, I believe, is the wide receiver position, the fact that they are content right now with the group they've got, mostly young guys. And I count CeeDee Lamb as a young guy, even though he's the number one receiver on this team at 23, 24 years old. That's something to watch as we go on here. You know, it's one thing to say it now. We'll see how things progress and whether they'll reassess that at some point. And they're dealing with some other injuries right now, nothing too serious. The backup tight ends are banged up right now. Jake Ferguson left practice early with a hammy yesterday, which is, Tuesday? Yesterday.
Yep.
I'm losing track of my days. Jeremy Sprinkle's in a walking boot. He's got some Achilles soreness. So it sounds like both guys are day-to-day, and they were careful with Jabril Cox's work yesterday coming off of the ACL that he's back from. And so look for him to be back in practice on Thursday, but they're going to be smart with him coming off an injury like that.
Day to day, aren't we all?
We're all day to day.
That's a Vin Scully quote, by the way. I thought I'd sprinkle that in there.
That's from him?
It's an actual Vin Scully quote. I was looking him up last night. All right, Mickey, when you look at the tight end position, you've got a couple guys banged up. Mike McCarthy said it shouldn't be anything long term. It shouldn't be anything of real concern, but we saw this a little bit last year when Sean McCune went down in the preseason, that it does tighten up your options in terms of the tight end room. Is that something to be worried about?
No. In the scale of what I got to worry about, tight ends ain't real high. Let's put it that way. What Rob said about the wide receivers, I would worry more about that. Look, coming into training camp, who did you think the first three tight ends were going to be? Dalton Schultz, Sean McEwen, and the rookie Jake Ferguson, right?
Yep.
I didn't think Sprinkle, I didn't think he's going to make it. They're not going to keep four. And, you know, he's in a boot. Okay, he can't afford to be in a boot. He needs to be out there competing. So, yeah, no, I'm not worried about the tight end position.
I'm a little bit worried about it, Mick. I am a little bit worried about it simply because of the fact they invested in this offseason, obviously, with the draft on Ferguson. And one of the main reasons why they brought Ferguson in was to assist in the blocking of that particular position. They want Schultz to be the guy to get out there and be that option, that check down guy, that mid-range guy for Dak. The sure thing that he's been over the past few seasons, and they need another guy in there to be able to hold the fort on the offensive line. And Ferguson's not out there.
But it's a ham, right?
I understand, but a ham at that position, right, being able to hold it down, being able to get vertical, whatever it may be, is very important. And the fact, regardless of what the injury is, he, to your point in terms of Sprinkle, he can't afford to be off the field right now. Ferguson definitely can't afford to be off the field right now, especially when there's pads on.
Yeah.
There's questions about his ability to block. There's questions about his ability to be effective in that particular role at this level. He's missing these important reps. You're going to turn right back around next week and be in Denver. You're going to turn right back around, have competitive practices there, and then you're going to turn around and have a preseason game. Is he going to be able to have those reps? There's three preseason games now. There's no longer four, so he cannot afford to miss these reps.
It is big to look at, and there are a couple injuries, not only with the tight end position, but, of course, we talk about James Washington. I believe news since our last show coming out in the middle of that does require surgery on a Jones fracture on his foot, out 6 to 8 weeks. That's an injury that does hinder the wide receiver position a little bit, and I do want to give really that its entire segment. But Isaiah, since it is your first show,
yeah,
I want you to give me the state of the Cowboys. When you're looking at from a broad standpoint of things, you keep up with everything from all the way down to the minute details.
Yeah.
But I want you to give me a broad look as you enter your training camp and what you've seen so far and what you're concerned about. We've gotten a chance to do this a couple times.
For sure.
Talking about the state of the Cowboys. What is yours?
It's your show. No. Go.
Yeah, take off. Go.
Well, I'm going to hit you on the face with it. Okay, so we just talked about the tight end position a little bit. Obviously, the receiver position is what everybody's talking about right now. Rob just mentioned that the Cowboys seem content at this point in time in terms of where they're at in terms of their depth at that position. I don't think that they should be. Because they, as comfortable as they might seemingly be, they're one injury away from it freaking hitting the panic button. And I think that you need to position yourself to not need to hit that panic button now instead of waiting until other teams have injury problems as well, and then they start going out there and grabbing the options that you may have once had. So I think that they need to strategically position themselves to be able to handle that position accordingly. When you looked at practice yesterday, the second padded practice, offensive line pretty much got their butts kicked. They got mushed. It was equivalent of somebody putting their hand in your face and just all in your face. That's exactly what happened to the offensive line yesterday. But, you know, the defense was amped up. They were talking about, you know, bringing up the level of competition. So the defense is always going to have the advantage in that regard. They will continue to figure things out. The one thing that I did see yesterday in practice was Tyler Smith. He looked really good. He looked patient, right? For somebody that who's being touted as being a very aggressive, you know, kind of, you know, groundhog type of guy, he did not seem overly aggressive. And that was something that I was very encouraged by yesterday with him being a rookie. He was very patient. He's letting the stunts and things of that nature come to him. The blitzes were coming across to him. He stayed in his lane. He didn't go chasing them, turning his shoulders, creating a run-through lane. So that was very encouraging. Defensively, I thought they were very competitive. It was very interesting to see some of the sets and things that they were doing scheme-wise that they're testing out, you know, in terms of three safeties and some of these other things. But it's going to be interesting to see that defensive line, how that front's going to come through. I think seeing Ridgeway and Hill on the defensive line together, that was encouraging to see. Seeing some big nasties up there, that allowing Vander Esch, Michael Parsons, allowing them to do what they do best, which is shoot the hole or simply go sideline to sideline. So overall, very encouraging, aside from the kicker position. But I'll let Mick tear that apart.
You know, it's interesting.
He can have it.
Interesting you said that about Tyler Smith. I was talking to somebody that had been in the league for years and years, and he liked Tyler Smith coming out of the draft. He thought his one fault at times was he tried to be too aggressive, that he wasn't patient, that he wanted to attack.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, when he goes and plays the guard position, if he starts playing that with his same mentality, he's going to have problems, right? And he's got to learn to be patient, have his sets, and trust himself that he's strong enough to play inside. And you're right. He was patient yesterday. Yeah. And I thought that was encouraging. I was watching him on the combo blocks when they were doing that drill. And he was right on.
Yeah.
And that's usually tough for a young guy, especially right when you're playing tackle. There's not too many combos. But when you're at guard, there's a lot of combo blocks, right? And he was doing a good job of, okay, I got this guy, and then he knew where to look next. Because a lot of times they don't know where to look,
right? Yeah, eye discipline, for sure.
So I thought that was, that was good yesterday.
And the biggest thing, the biggest knock on him maybe coming out was all the penalties that he had at Tulsa. And I think
16.
And that's a large part of probably his aggressiveness. And some of it, you talk to people around that evaluated him coming out, was it's not so much he's getting beat. It's not really that at all. He's beating the hell out of guys, basically, is what happened in college. I have not seen him get a penalty in practice yet. There have been some penalties out there, some defensive holding penalties in those situational two-minute stuff yesterday, but not from Tyler Smith. He is off to a good start.
Go for it, man.
I was going to say, and the other thing my guy told me, and he said he had talked to the coach at Tulsa, was that he had trouble with his left hand placement. I know this is probably getting too technical.
No, this is good
stuff.
That
he would get it out too wide.
Too wide.
And then guess what the guy in the line of scrimmage goes, oh, he must be holding, right? He said all he's got to do is make an adjustment, get it inside, and he'll be fine. And I think that had a lot to do with those penalties. The other thing is when you're so aggressive sometimes, you're not satisfied with just blocking the guy. You want to just pancake him, right? You want to throw him to the ground.
Yep.
And I think at sometimes, you know, I know Connor Williams had a lot of penalties, but he would do the same thing.
Exactly.
He would make his block, and it's like, okay, fine. But no, now he wants to throw. And as soon as they see you throw somebody to the ground, well, you must be holding.
Yeah.
And they don't see the initial block. So I think if he tightens up on that, I think they got something there.
Yeah, and to not look over the points that you just made, one of the things, you know, going back to like a Connor Williams, at times did his job. But to your point, because of his, the thing that made him good in college, made him, you know, okay in the league to this point, was his aggressiveness, right? So, but that over-aggressiveness, when you put that over in front of it, that now turns you from being squared up with somebody to all of a sudden now you're turning your shoulders, right? As soon as you start turning defensive linemen, you start getting penalties. As soon as you start turning defensive linemen, there's run-through lanes, right? So that overly right. aggressiveness can be at your demise if you allow it to. And that's what's one thing that we're not seeing with Tyler Smith so far, so that's why we're saying it's encouraging.
Is he the most encouraging part of practice offensive line-wise
yes.
that you've seen? Because, I mean, you mentioned it a moment ago. You said, ah, or whatever yeah. it was that the defensive line did yeah. to the offensive line. Is he the bright spot to this point? Because it looked like they had a rough day yesterday.
From what I saw. But the thing is, this is camp, right? So camp, you're going to have days where the defense comes out and they just look like superstars. And then guess what? The offensive line is going to go back, and they're going to go back. Coach Williams is going to put on that film. He's going to highlight some things. He's going to tell the guys to relax, trust the schemes, trust the guy next to you. And then the next pad of practice, the offensive line just freaking runs these guys into the doggone goalpost. So it's the back and forth, and that's what makes camp so competitive. And that's why now, you know, over the past probably 10 years, you start to see teams start to practice a lot more against other teams, because you only do that so often before you start figuring out what each other are doing. You need to go do that against another opponent.
There was some good back and forth to Isaiah's point. You know, there was a play, you talk about the kind of like a swirly or something, where Tristan Hill is
– Mick's the only one that hasn't done that yet, so we got to get Mick.
Go ahead, Mick. Go.
I'm listening.
Okay. Tristan Hill, who had a great practice yesterday,
yes,
by the way, and he's off to a good start. He met Zeke at the line of scrimmage and just stopped him cold right there. Next couple plays, some nice runs, some nice seal-offs for Zeke and for Tony Pollard. So, I mean, there's some back and forth, but I agree with you. I think the defensive front, and you could hear Mike McCarthy, he didn't say specifically about the defense, but he liked the physicality, and he liked how guys were flying around yesterday. I think it spoke more to the defense than the offense.
Yeah, except for the two-minute drill when they drove right down.
Dak did a nice job, and they cut it short.
You got to play football.
Yep.
A lot of these times when we see this the defense knows it's a run drill.
Facts.
Right? You got to start calling plays to counter what the defense is doing.
Yep.
And they're really not doing that. They're calling plays because they got to practice this stuff. And a lot of times, you know, okay, this is throwing session. And they know that, so they pin their ears back. Or this is running session.
You're playing the period.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'm sure guys do that,
absolutely.
Right? They know what's coming.
They absolutely
right?
do it.
And so, but I like that both sides, I like the speed of the practice.
Yep.
They're trying to get in as much as they can in their limited time that they can have the guys on the field. You know, they get a two-minute break. That's it. And it's 2 minutes, right?
Yeah.
They got the clock going.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I like the pace of the practice, and I thought the intensity was good. You hate to see the early injuries, but as Brad Sham has said, every year we've come to training camp, we go to training camp to see who's going to get hurt. And right away we saw two injuries that you didn't like.
Nope, not at all. And that's going to segment us into our next segment. How about that, Mickey Spagnola? Mm. When we come back, what has Rob concerned about the wide receivers top to bottom? Mm. We'll figure that out. We'll get Isaiah's take. We'll get Mickey's take when we come back with more Talking Cowboys.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
The Cowboys way, where 16 Hall of Famers and 5 championships shows us what success looks like. Where turkey is always the second best part of Thanksgiving Day. Where we are all defined by one single thing, the star. Where we as fans know it's our job to keep the tradition going. Bank of America is proud to be the official bank of the Dallas Cowboys and to support the quest of living life the Cowboys way.
Copyright 2020 Bank of America Corporation.
Lil' Sweet!
Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Lil' Sweet says head on home.
Dr. Pepper's on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper. Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's on something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
Nobody protects you from mayhem like Allstate. I'm a broken traffic light. Stop and go is the name of my game. It's easy. You go, they go. What was it? They go, you go? And if you have the wrong car insurance, these repair costs could stop you in your tracks. So get Allstate's new low auto rate and be better protected from mayhem, like me.
Not available in every state based on coverage and limits selected. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. In most states, prices vary based on how you buy. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Back to Talkin' Cowboys.
Are you a Cowboys fan who spices up the game? Make sure to nominate yourself or nominate yourself or others to be the Cowboys Fan of the Year presented by Captain Morgan and win a trip to Super Bowl 57 in Arizona as your Dallas Cowboys take on I'll say the Buffalo Bills. Nominate today at DallasCowboys.com/Fan of the Year.
I would pay to see Mickey do a Captain Morgan pose.
Do we have a chair?
I would pay to see this.
Put some money in a pot. I'll start.
Come here, man. I'm not
getting up.
You're not going to get up?
No. We're not posing.
It's like my cheeks are comfortable.
I mean, we can make it happen.
My cheeks are comfortable.
I just broke my chair. All right.
I'm going to make this happen before camp's over. We're going to put it out on Twitter.
Okay. That would be legendary.
Because you don't have Instagram because you don't need Instagram.
That would be legendary.
Yeah. We're going to make this happen.
What do I need Instagram for?
Glad to be back here at Talking Cowboys, having fun.
What a time.
We're only halfway through the week. We've got plenty of Cowboys stuff to talk about, so we can have Mickey do a Captain Morgan pose. Can we get the hat, too?
Text message. We got fax machines.
Instagram's a happier place, Mick. It's happy.
People aren't mad.
Is it happy?
Right.
Instagram.
See, and I'm not
happier
really on Twitter.
Twitter.
I'm not really on Twitter like that.
Yeah.
I'm much more on Twitter Instagram than on my Twitter.
Twitter is a bad place
a lot of the times. It's too much.
Instagram is not much better, though. I've only used it once so far.
Your bike adventures.
I know what's coming.
Yep. We're going to make Mickey Spagnuolo on Instagram by the end of the show because he doesn't need it.
Too much fun.
Rob, what has you concerned about the wide receivers? Yesterday, you and I were having a conversation, and basically you were like, I want to bring this up on the show, but I'm a little concerned. What has you concerned?
Well, Isaiah hit on part of it. I think there's a middle balance to have when you're talking about this situation, because I think there's a lot of fans that are like, why the hell aren't they doing anything? You know, you just lost James Washington, Michael Gallup's out, and there's a lot of unproven guys behind CeeDee Lamb who's stepping into a new role. I get it. There's another side. I think there are some fans that are like, look, it's August 3rd, okay? If it were September 3rd and you don't love what you're seeing at practice and in preseason, then maybe you go make a move. It's very, very early. But I think there's two reasons why they've got to have some level of concern. One, Isaiah said it, you're one injury away. We were at practice yesterday in that late two-minute drill where, and Mick mentioned it, Dak was good in that drill. He was, I think, 5 of 6, got him in scoring position. One of the catches was a CeeDee Lamb.
Yep.
CeeDee Lamb goes down. And for a second, Brad Sham and I are like, oh, what's wrong with him? He got hit in the bread basket.
Oh, yeah.
He's all right. Couple minutes on the ground, he was all right. But that was a reminder, if CeeDee Lamb – pulls a Jake Ferguson and winds up with a hammy pull, where are you at your receiving core right now? Because of the inexperience. Not saying there's not talent.
Unknown.
But yeah, a lot of unknowns there. The second part of it for me is when the season starts, Michael Gallup's going to be back at some point. He doesn't think it's going to be week 1. Maybe it's sometime in September. Even when he's back, he's going to be a huge addition to this offense, but is he going to be 60 plays a game, Michael Gallup? They're going to have to ramp him up a little bit. I don't think it's fair to him to expect him to come back and just be the guy with CD right off the bat. So they've got to have somebody else to step up. And, you know, it's very possible that James Washington is going to start IR or the regular season on IR after a day on the active roster. We'll see.
They will sign a wide receiver. They're just telling you that now.
Yep.
It's going to happen.
Have to.
You would hope so.
The one thing you don't want to do at this point is, oh, my God, I got to sign a wide receiver. Well, the wide receivers know that, and they got their hand out, right?
Yep.
Okay, pay me, right? Number two, some of the guys that they're interested in aren't ready to play football.
Yep.
Would you like to sign Odell Beckham Jr.? He's not ready to play football, right? So don't bring him in, and then he's going to sit the first month of the season too. Number three, and Isaiah can speak to this if he wants, but there's some veteran guys out there, and I looked, and most of them that you would hire are in their 30s.
Yeah.
You think they want to go to training camp?
Cole Beasley, Emmanuel Sanders, T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Allen Hurns, DeSean Jackson. These guys don't want to go to training camp.
Yeah.
So, again, and then the fourth point is how much you want to spend on this guy. How much money? Because I started looking at what some of these guys made last year, and I was shocked. Will Fuller, 1 year, $10 million guaranteed. T.Y. Hilton, 1 year, $8 million guaranteed. Emmanuel Sanders, who is 35, by the way, 1 year, $6 million guaranteed. So I'll guarantee you, I know those guys are out of jobs, and I know they realize it's August 3rd, but they're going to want that kind of money. I know you got $20 million under the cap available, but take $8 million out. And then you're sitting there going, you know, I need a backup offensive tackle. Mm-hmm. Now, what are one of these guys on a one-year deal going to come in? Riley Reiff just signed with the Bears for $3.3 million 1 year, but he's got $4.5 million in a bonus if he plays 10% of the snaps. That's $7.5 million for that guy. So, and who knows what other position. You know, you may have to, and I don't think there's anybody out there to spend money on a kicker, but you may have to spend money on a kicker.
I hope you do.
So all of a sudden that $20 million starts disappearing real quick, and especially if you react right now. So they're going to say, we're going to look at the young guys, we want to develop them, but they know darn well that – Michael Gallup might miss a month. They know darn well Washington might miss a month.
Yeah.
And they're not going to go into this season with CeeDee Lamb, Jalen Tolbert, and Noah Brown as your top three wide receiver.
No, that's why they need it. That's why they need a short list, and you know that they have it. You know that the Joneses and Will McClay have it. But all I'm saying is they've got to be ready for that. And I think that's what they were ready – in 2016, and this is a bigger deal, but when Tony Romo went down and they said, we like Kellen Moore, and Kellen Moore breaks his ankle, and then Dak Prescott, the rest is history. But that was a situation where they said, hey, we'll take a look at our – it's early. Let's take a look at the guys we have, and we'll see. And I think that's where it is. We'll see. But, yeah, there's got to be at some point take a look at getting some help in here.
Well, what they say and what they do sometimes is not the same.
Correct. Yeah, well, we've seen that plenty of times.
Yeah, there's got to be some smoke out there. You got to put some smoke out there to distract everybody. But the reality is, this is a need.
Yeah.
This is not a want. This is not a, maybe. This is a, you need to address this, and you need to address it quickly. Now, Mickey just made some great points in terms of what these guys are going to require financially, and you don't really want to commit to that when you really just need a 4 to 6 week lease on some of these guys.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what you're asking for. You're asking for an insurance policy. And this is an insurance policy that you're going to utilize, but you're not going to utilize it for the whole year, right, unless you absolutely have to. So these guys are in a very – bad position. Let's just call it what it is. Okay, they're in a bad position right now. This offense needs receivers. Dak needs receivers. Ferguson being down is a bigger deal. I know we're talking about receivers, but Ferguson being down is a bigger deal because what these guys want to do offensively. They want to be a two tight end set team. That's what they want to do, with the ability to have three receivers out there when they want to. But ultimately, they want to get that running game going again. They want that old thing back, like Stella, okay? They want to let Stella get her groove back. They want to run the ball, and then they want to be able to throw this thing around when they need to. So they need not only Ferguson to be back healthy and get these reps at that tight end position, but at the receiver position, if something goes down, it just takes something very minute, hamstring pull. You're out 4 weeks. 4 weeks with a hamstring pull alone, right? I've had a traumatic foot injury that I came into the league with when Dallas drafted me. I had the Liz Frank injury. I was out 9 to 12 months, right? But either way, a foot injury, you're dealing with somebody who runs full speed and has to plant and change directions.
Yeah.
That's going to be something that takes a little bit of time to adjust to, not only with James Washington, but also with Gallup.
The other thing they may be looking at as an option, too, is, okay, it's August 3rd. Like we talked about, there's three preseason games. There's going to be a final cutdown around the league at the end of the preseason, end of the month. All right, there may be more options that come out. And like Mickey said, maybe options that come out there that don't want X million amount of dollars for, Isaiah put it, you know, sure, a short amount of time. So maybe this is a chance to just evaluate and see what you got. And maybe guys step up. There are guys that legitimately have caught their eye.
Yeah.
And Noah Brown is off to a great start. We know about him. This is his sixth year in the league. Dennis Houston is a guy that has stood out. So there's some other guys. Obviously, Jalen Tolbert's looking like he's going to be a starter week one.
Yeah.
Did you notice Houston got more snaps yesterday with
yes.
the first
yes,
team?
Yes, he did.
And was trusted.
Right?
That's through
his
direction.
He actually threw the ball to him.
That's
right?
One thing that I pulled away from yesterday that I think I was telling Kyle while I was watching it.
Yep.
Not only was Dennis Houston out there with the ones, right, but number four trusted him and threw him the ball often.
Right.
Right? And completed it often. On the flip side, okay, there's a dude by the name of Simi Fehoko that was out there as well with the ones as well. But when he was open, the ball didn't go his way. So it was very
went his way whenever Cooper Rush was that quarterback or Will Greer was that quarterback.
And I saw
him
make some catches, by the way.
He made a couple plays.
But
for you to be out there with the ones and you to actually be open and the QB1 doesn't go your way with the ball, it's very telling.
So if you bring in a veteran now, then all of a sudden the young guys get pushed back,
sure.
Right? It's a chance to see them. I don't think they're relying on them, but I think it's a chance to see them. T.J. Vasher, right?
That's another name.
Once
yes.
a practice,
yeah.
he
another
makes
guy.
A catch, you go, oh, okay.
I get it, but the thing is, everybody's in kind of relaxed mode right now because they're like, it's the first week of
right.
stuff, camp. Camp's not that long.
I'm with you on that, but the guys that they would bring in,
I hear you.
It's not like they're teaching them to play football. You're bringing in a 10-year, 8-year veteran,
facts.
Right?
Right now, and this goes back to Rob's point that started this conversation, it's August 3rd. It's not September 3rd. But to Isaiah's point, at the same time, it takes one play. It takes one injury.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
and
yeah.
then all of a sudden,
but then
you're not only effective
for
August 3rd, you're effective for September 3rd.
But
so
then you
if
bring the
need,
guy in.
I get it. I understand on both sides of this the balance that needs to be had. You're trying to grow young talent because it's cheaper, it's more efficient, and, hell, the guys can use it. I mean, you can utilize deep wide receivers. And you see that every single day.
I mean, half the guys, Kyle, we talked about aren't going to make this team.
Okay.
Very true.
At
very
wide
true.
Receiver,
that's a good point. Because they're only going to take six or seven, right?
There's a saying that goes that's going
maybe
around.
Maybe five. Well, you may have to keep. Well, here's what's going to happen. So here's the other thing that's going to happen. So with James Washington, they got to see where he's at come the final cut.
Yep.
Because if he's close, then you say, okay, I'll carry him on the 53, right? If he's not, you still got to carry him on the 53 before you can put him on IR for 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And the same thing with Gallup. Do you want to put him on PUP? Then he's got to miss 4 weeks. If you think he's close, then you say, okay, I'll carry him hurt for 2 weeks, but maybe game three he's ready to go. So those are things that will also factor into these young guys making it or ending up on the practice squad.
The other option here, and I'm speaking more when the season starts, assuming you don't have MG and you don't have James to start the season, this may be an opportunity for Tony Pollard. And I'm not saying as a guy to line up out wide every play, but this is our mailbag question this morning.
Really good one, too.
A chance for him to be just more involved and just a space player that you have to account for on the field. And I know Mickey, I know you don't want Zeke not getting his share of carries. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being a utility guy out there.
Put him in the slot.
That teams have to account for. And he's a guy, yes, he's not a wide receiver, but everybody wants to see more of him. And here's a chance for him maybe to be more involved in this offense. If they need help getting touches to guys who can make plays.
Mickey, if you were in the GM shoes. You were making the decision when slash if you decide to, or I guess, would you sign a wide receiver? And if you did, when would you do it?
I would sign when, like I was told, they've got guys they like, but they're not ready to play right now. So when they're ready to go, I'll sign them. And that comes down to, well, somebody else can beat me to the punch, right? And they sign them ahead of me, and you go, oh, shoot, I should have done that. I just don't think you rush into it. They know what they're up against.
So you're saying
maybe
2-3 weeks down
the line.
Another
week or two?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they're going to bring somebody in. I guarantee you that.
Rob.
They just don't want to show their hand immediately.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I expect something to happen at some point because this is not a situation where the two guys who are hurt right now, you're not counting on them for week one.
Yeah.
So this isn't just a get-through training camp deal. They're going to need help when the season starts.
Well, let's
do this.
So at some
point, unless somebody just continues to just absolutely ball out, you know, like Dak did in 2016, and you feel like, oh, we're good.
Yeah.
Unless that emerges, then
Dennis Houston comes out with 150 yards each
game. I read all those guys' names and what they made.
Yeah.
Who do you want to sign?
I would take T.Y. Hilton.
Doesn't necessarily
on a cheaper contract.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that they're going
to
get that now.
But who do you want? We keep saying they got to bring somebody in.
I mean, I would look at a T.Y. Hilton.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I like he's had a good career.
I like the idea of maybe waiting for cutdowns to see if somebody on another roster, a veteran on another roster, doesn't make the cut, and then you've got more options. You have a bigger pool of paper.
I understand that. So there's two things, right? That what you're talking about in terms of waiting until guys get cut.
Yep.
Guess what? Everybody else is waiting for those guys to get cut as well.
You're
at
right.
That point. Okay, so, and what Mick's talking about in terms of these guys with their hands out, right? If you're going after right now, well, there's a saying right now on the streets, Mick, and it's called the price just went up.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So if you wait until down the road where your back's up against the absolute wall, guess what? The price just went up because you're more dire to make a signing. So if you grab these guys now, some of the guys that are available, if you grab a guy now, you're in a better situation, not only financially, but you're in a better situation because, and that's, guess what? Going into the season, these guys understand the playbook. You're not limiting them on what they can and can't do when they step on the field and their contributions to your organization.
What would you do then? Would you sign somebody right now?
Absolutely.
Okay.
T.Y. Hilton, 32.
Yep.
Played 10 games last year because he dealt with injuries all year.
Only five.
And he had 23 catches. I understand that's 23 more than
Carson Wentz was the quarterback.
I get it.
Everybody had 23 catches.
But I'm saying a lot of these guys.
It was a very run-heavy offense.
Of all these guys I looked at, you know who had the best year last year from catches? Cole Beasley.
Yeah, Cole's a beast. Yeah.
Now, he's not going to swallow his pride and come back here. Right?
That's a unique situation.
Okay. Yeah. Allen Hurns hasn't played in 2 years.
No.
That's probably not happening.
T.Y.
Right? You got Hilton. DeSean Jackson had 20 catches.
Nah.
And he's just kind of a trick guy,
right?
One guy that caught my eye was Adam Humphries. He's only 29. He played last year for Washington. He had 41 catches. Now, he's kind of a possession guy, right? He's not a guy that's going to stretch the field. And the hard thing of losing Washington, the way they were using him, they were using him outside, not just a slot guy. I didn't realize he was that big.
Yeah.
I mean, and so a lot of these guys that are available are just slot guys. You almost need somebody that can be versatile to do both.
No, maybe you have to explore the trade
because
market at some point.
Well,
at some
that's
point,
another thing.
And maybe that's more of a conversation as you get closer to the season, and teams have a better idea of what they want to do.
You think a lot of teams have too many receivers?
No, I'm not. But, okay, fair point, but I think – you hit on backup tackle. I think that's a harder position to go find somebody either on another team or a free agent than it is a wide receiver.
Because there's some free agents out there with big names, but they're done.
And backup tackle, you could argue that's a bigger need right now than filling out the receiver spot.
Could be.
It's up there.
That's an injury we did not talk about.
Yeah.
We've kind of hit on it, but we need to take a break. When we come back, though, another position that could potentially use some outside help. What's going on with the kickers? We're going to break that down when we come back with more Talking Cowboys.
Little Sweet!
Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Little Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper's on its way.
So sweet, you
unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper. Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
The Medal of Honor is our country's highest military award for valor in combat. More than 40 million individuals have served in the armed forces since the Civil War. Fewer than 4,000 have received the Medal of Honor. The National Medal of Honor Museum will be a place to preserve these legacies and inspire America. It's being built right next door to the Dallas Cowboys in Texas. Help us honor our country's greatest heroes. Learn more and get involved at mohmuseum.org.
The Cowboys way, where 16 Hall of Famers and 5 championships shows us what success looks like. Where turkey is always the second best part of Thanksgiving Day. Where we are all defined by one single thing, the star. Where we as fans know it's our job to keep the tradition going. Bank of America is proud to be the official bank of the Dallas Cowboys and to support the quest of living life the Cowboys way.
Copyright 2020, Bank of America Corporation.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah's savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back to Talkin' Cowboys.
Whether you're watching from home or you're cheering in the stands with Essilor lenses, you can see every exciting play. Book an appointment at your local Essilor experts and see what Essilor can do for you. See more, do more, Essilor on Talking Cowboys. Guys, I found them. I got my Essilors back.
Oh, you did?
You got them? I got them back.
Those are the ones?
Those are the ones. I found them. Everybody, we're good. We're good. Everything's fine.
Robbie, we need to set that up. I need another pair of Essilor.
I do, too.
Yeah?
Mickey, you want to hop in on that?
Let's go, Mick.
Let's all go together when we get back.
Her brothers.
Deal. We have a nice field trip.
We can get a family deal, right?
Let's go.
Yeah, I love that. Speaking of family, a couple fans of the show's tweeting at me during that last segment about the wide receivers. Robert, he said, mark my words, Turpin will be the big surprise at receiver this year for the Cowboys. Kevin said, Cowboys need to bring in a wide receiver next week. Dak needs time with them to build a relationship. It's kind of what Isaiah was talking about. And then we've got a couple other questions. I think I'm going to save them for their next episode coming up on Friday.
Fan that had the greatest line when Turpin hit the field, he starts screaming, it's Turpin time!
I can't wait to hear Mickey say that in the press box at some point.
Turpin time!
Preseason
if he makes the team.
Turpin time!
And that somebody doesn't break him in two.
Chris Beam said it'll be a headline right up at the top.
His
Turpin
life
time.
Flashed before his eyes yesterday.
He got popped pretty good.
It's a mixed shot headline. It's Turpin time. All right, Mickey Spagnuolo, Rob Phillips, Isaiah Stanback, last couple minutes here of Talking Cowboys. I'm Kyle Yeomans, and let's talk about the kickers. Mick, you've brought it up on a couple of occasions. They have not necessarily shown out.
Well, we've got a seesaw battle going when they do the 8 kicks at the start of practice, because on the first day they did it, Liram Hiraluha.
Try it again.
Hiraluha.
Hiralahu.
There you go.
Hiralahu.
Liram Hiralahu.
Liram made Liram 7 of 8, and Garibay made 4 of 8. And then yesterday, Garibay made 6 of 8, and the last miss wasn't his fault. I don't know what happened with the snap, but he started and the ball wasn't coming. He stopped, and then the ball came flat, and he missed. So I don't put that on him. But Liram struggled and made 3 of 8. So he went from 7 of 8 to 3 of 8. And then when they did the mojo moment kicks, oh, my Lord.
They got one.
They got one.
Lirum got one.
Yeah, one out of three. Right?
And Garibay was 0-3.
0-3. And
kicking right into the wind.
So they do this every year.
Does that include the first practice of the Mojo Moments, too? Because they went 1-4 that
they had trouble.
I'm speaking to just Tuesday.
We were talking yesterday.
I'm adding Monday in there, too, because they were only 1-4 total.
But at least one hit the goal the upright, right?
That doesn't. You're from Chicago. You should know that's not necessarily a good thing.
That's not good. You don't want to bank it in.
You don't want the double doink.
Now, kickers have traditionally had trouble kicking the way they kick those first eight. It's into the wind. It's weird up there. But again, you got to kick a straight ball. When you kick and you got a hook, then you're starting to go, okay, now I got to play. You know how you play golf and you think, okay, I see the wind, I'm going to compensate, and then nothing works right.
Yep.
You just got to go out there and kick it. Garibay on those Mojo Moments, it had nothing to do with the wind. He was kicking them. They would have got blocked, I think. They were coming off his foot low.
Really low.
And I'm not sure what happened to him. If it's like, okay, this is too much for me. You know, I got people in my face and there's crowd and everybody's cheering. But I think mentally he struggled.
Can I ask you a question, Mick? You're a straightforward guy.
Yeah.
He keeps it real.
No.
Would you feel more confident with Greg Zuerlein right now than you do with these two?
Yeah, if I could have re-signed him for less money. Okay.
Which would have been the conversation.
And that's what they wanted to do.
Yeah. Yep.
And then the Jets screwed it up and paid him like he was a really good kicker last year, and he wasn't. But, no, you're right. Because you don't know what these guys are going to do. There's an unknown.
Yeah.
You know what to expect from Zuerlein, right? He's going to break your heart, but, you know, he'll make it.
And he may have, but you know what? If he hadn't had, what was it, back surgery last spring?
Groin, whatever it was.
He didn't kick it. I think it was his back. He didn't kick it all out here.
It was his back.
And he wasn't right, I don't know, the entire season necessarily. I'm not making excuses for him, but I think it was a unique year for him.
Yeah.
It's a moot point now because he's on another team. They decided to go in another direction, but I wonder if he's going to have a bounce back year where he's at.
I didn't like the fact that he didn't kick all training camp.
Yeah, he had, like, what, four attempts toward the back end?
Hardly did anything.
He didn't kick here at all. Yeah. But not in practice.
At least none of these guys were like the Jacksonville kicker that punked Dave Campbell. He missed so bad he hit Campbell in the head. And he got cut.
That's a way to get
cut. The next day.
Yeah,
so. One way to do it.
It's just, I asked that question because there was no part of me, not even a little bit, that felt comfortable nor confident with the situation at the kicker position right now.
And if you look at what's available.
Slim pickings.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Same thing at, like, the offensive tackle thing.
So I asked the question.
Yeah.
How are you displeased with your kicker from the year before, so you part ways for whatever reasons, right? Couldn't come to financial means, whatever. And then you go backwards.
See, the ideal thing would
definitely
have been,
in terms of experience, yes.
The ideal thing would have been you keep Zuerlein, you bring in a young guy, and let him
challenge
compete.
Have him
and then
competition.
Compete, right? Yeah. And then you got a fallback. Right now, they don't have a fallback.
Nope.
And as we saw last year, too many games came down to that final kick, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes, we ran off the field with our arms up in the air, and sometimes you're going, well, shoot.
And where were they kicking from yesterday? Did you guys have those markers?
Yes, I did.
He's got them.
So they started at the 38. they both Garibay made both. Lirum was 1-2. Then they went to the 43. Garibay made both. Lirum went 1-2. And then they went to the 48. Garibay made 1-2. Lirum was 0-2. And then they went to the 52, and they were both 1-2.
And the Mojo Moment kicks were for Lirum, 49, 54, 59. Jonathan Garibay, 49, 53, and 58.
So these are not chip shots.
And the wind was absolutely a factor because those are 50-plus kicks, and they're kicking directly into the wind.
Yeah.
you're right. He didn't. Garibay did not strike the ball well, like we saw indoors in OTAs where it was popping off his foot.
Right.
But yeah, I do think the wind was somewhat of a factor. I'm not saying they're off to a good start by any stretch, but I think
those are long kicks, though. Those are long kicks.
And they're not chip shots. No, they're not PATs.
One of the guys that's been here quite a while, he mentioned me. Just think back. He goes, Dan Bailey, as good as he was, had struggled here in training camp.
Yeah.
The other thing that's going on that's not mentioned, number one, the field's lumpy. So if you see before they kick, they're all looking for a flat spot to place the ball, right? I never seen more time spent looking for a flat spot to place the ball. And number two, McQuaid's snaps are all over the place.
All I can see was Talladega Nights. You got a lumpy butt.
But the big concern is McQuaid's snaps.
The operation
have been all over the place, high, low.
Yeah, we're not just talking
outside.
About
outside.
You never had that problem with LP, huh?
No,
not really. Not really.
As a matter
at all.
Of fact, I don't want to hear Vin Scully go balls outside. Yeah. You know? No, I want it right down the middle.
Way to tie it all in together. I like it.
I've got another quote here. Good is not good when better is expected, and that's from Vin Scully. And it's hard to say that the kickers have been good, period. But even if they were, that's still not enough. Because if you're the kicker for the Cowboys, better is expected. And, well, we've got a long way to go with
that kicking
situation.
So you want me to give you one last Vin Scully story?
Of course.
My college roommate, we were talking last night, big baseball fan. And he said he remembered one game. Johnny Damon came to the plate. He couldn't remember if he was with – well, he'd been play with several teams, right?
Yeah.
Kansas City,
bounce around,
Red Sox, Yankees.
Red Sox, most
he
notably.
Said, Damon comes to plate, and Vin Scully takes one look at him, and he sees all this long hair out the back of his helmet, got a beard on, and he's going,
"What in the Yankees?
Yeah, thing? look at this guy. You know, when he's got long hair, he's got a beard. He reminds me of somebody." And he goes, and my roommate's going, oh, no, he's not going to say he reminds me of J.C., right? and he goes, and that's a ball one. And he comes back, and he goes, well, I didn't know if I should
that's
say
okay,
it, right?
It's okay.
And,
we got
and,
it.
And
that's,
he
what,
goes,
that's what we call Charlie Whitehurst.
And he says he comes back, and Vin Scully goes, yeah, I know what he looks like. He looks like Charles Manson.
Oh, no.
How many times?
Two opposite ends of the spectrum here.
In a baseball broadcast, you get Charles Manson.
Oh, my gosh. That's a great way to end it here on this edition of Talking Cowboys. We'll be back on Friday. Same crew. Isaiah will be back with us again, 9 a.m. Pacific time, 11 a.m. Central. For Chris Beam in the back, Isaiah Standback, Rob Phillips, Mickey Spagnuolo, I'm Kyle Yeomans.
Me back.
Say so long. We'll see you next time on Talking Cowboys.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!